Morning, everyone, once again.
Morning.
You should all have this on your computers. I emailed it to you about 2 weeks ago. I do have a couple of extra hard copies, though, as well, in case...
I have one, Peter.
All right, we'll pass those down.
Yeah.
For those who need a hard copy, but if you have it on your computer, that would be good, because there's not quite enough copies, I don't think, so... Well, as you know, at the February-March meetings of the Council, we go ahead and approve the agenda and speaking assignments for the May General Conference of Elders meeting. Our task force met a few weeks ago to finalize this proposal for you to go over. Task force members are currently myself, Fred Crow, Frank Fish, Charles Malia, Jenny Bradford, Bill Bradford, Greg Thomas, Gary Antion, Dan Berendt, and George DeCampus. So what you have here before you is the proposed schedule of events. And what I might do is just go through it in chronological order, and then we can refer back to the back pages of the document for certain portions to explain what those might be or what the presentation is planned for. First of all, the ongoing GCE questions and answers is the first part there, top of page 2, just inside the cover. The online GCE forum at training.ucg.org will be used from now until the annual GCE conference as a tool for the ministry to use to ask questions about ballot items and conference details. You might recall that in the past a special forum was set up, a Q&A forum. Task Force believes that our normal forum can be used for asking questions about ballot items and details of the conference. And as a reminder, this vehicle can be used throughout the year to ask questions of the Council administration when questions arise. We don't have to wait until the May meeting to ask questions. So we're encouraging our ministry to use the GCE forum throughout the year, but of course, especially here in the coming month, if they have any questions about ballot items for the conference. So, just...
Why is it called training at UCG?
That's the URL. That's where the GCE forum is. That's the link in your web browser.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, why was it called training?
It's just the software that's being used.
Oh.
So we have members.ucg.org, we have coe.ucg.org, and we've got training.ucg.org. Because that can also, that module we're using for the forum can also be used for other things, for different kinds of training modules and things if we wish.
All right. Okay.
That's the software that's being used.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Friday, May the 13th, Mr. Malia told me that from 9 to 4, they're planning a Feast of Tabernacles coordinator meeting, so I slipped that on here so that everybody was aware of that. Is that still happening, Charles? Mr. Holliday?
It is. Absolutely.
Okay, so that is still going on Friday, May 13th.
Can I just go back to the first part, Peter?
Yeah.
Is anybody going to moderate that site to ensure that we do pick up the questions?
Monitor. At this point, nobody's been assigned.
Yeah, but will that happen?
Perhaps we should do that. Make sure that something gets answered, I guess, but... I presume all the council members have signed up for an email alert whenever anything new is posted on the forum, right?
Yeah.
You get an email alert whenever anything new is on the forum, so that should help alert you. But
well, Darris is the one that's responsible, the chief moderator, and he has a couple of people who are helping him. For example, he has a couple of people who check on it all the time. So he should be alerted to these maybe questions, but he's not here.
Okay, let's make sure we mention that to Darris then during the break when he gets here, that as Communications Committee Chairman of the Council, to make sure anything relating to these issues for the conference get taken care of. Okay, good. Thank you, Vic. Friday, May 13th, we have scheduled in, as in the past, an international meeting for our international attendees. I might mention that Mr. Luca is sending out an invitation to the international areas for those areas who will have their assistance in getting people paid to attend. He and Mr. Stiver are working on an invitation letter to the international areas. In the past, we've had 30 or 40 attendees from outside the United States. It'll be similar to that we anticipate this year, but maybe just a few down. Now, from the polling that the committee did and from the comments that came in from those who submitted suggestions, it was thought that the morning session, 9:30 to 11:30, would best be a roundtable discussion with the president and chairman, just about the state of the church in the international areas. There's three bullet points here. How will the international areas work with the administration in the future? What is the role of the president with the international areas? And what lessons have we learned about serving our international brethren? So those were the bullet points that were felt would be best discussed Friday morning with the chairman and president, with the international ministry present, and it'd just be an open roundtable discussion to go through the issues. So any thoughts on that before we move on the schedule?
Just a question in my mind, and I don't know if the council's discussed it before, the role of the chairman. Melvin and I work very well together, and Melvin is handling a great deal in the international area. So he'll be there, thankfully. But I guess the question has been more over the years, the role of the president, right?
In relation to the international area.
The international area, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's come up quite often over the years.
Yeah. So are you happy with the way that's worded, how the international areas work, the administration, and with the president?
Yeah.
Okay,
fine.
All right.
Because the chairman is the chairman of all of the ministry, the General Conference of Elders.
Okay. That hasn't been as controversial as the role of
the president here at the Home Office is in the management team in the U.S.,
right.
And then the question is, what other oversight can he help and provide for the international areas?
Right.
Yeah. Mr. Segley?
Yeah, Pete, I think it would be good to put on the second bullet point, what is the role of the president and the chairman?
Okay.
Yeah. That was what I was thinking.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You got it. Mr. Antian.
Yeah, when I was in Canada, I was asked a question about, given a comment, about why don't we have an international coordinator, someone who can oversee, not in an inline authoritarian or authority function, but one who would be a liaison either to the Home Office or to the Council, who would be in fact in touch with all the different international areas in order to assure that there's the same kind of consistency throughout the world in how those groups are led, administered, and also to ensure that we have member lists and so on, so that in the event we need something, because right now there's no quality control from place to place. It all depends on which one, and not that he's going to be in charge of it, because each where they have their own boards. Australia has its own board, Canada has its own board, and so on, and Germany and Italy. So you wouldn't be, it wouldn't be an inline function, but it would be one who goes around as a goodwill ambassador to some of those areas of the world.
So, Mr. Andy, why don't you bring that up at the international meeting on Friday?
I think it's something that should be discussed.
Okay, so that'll be for Friday, May
13th. But I think it'll be the council to decide.
Yeah. Yeah.
The position of the chairman, the president relative to the international area, is very clearly spelled out in the president's job description. I can't quote it to you directly now, but it is quite clearly set out. I think the point that Gary is raising here is really more applicable to those areas that don't have their own national councils.
Right, right.
For example, I know that from Australia, that our chairman will communicate directly with certain people there. Ruth Root would communicate directly with Peter on media matters and things of that sort. So I think Canada and ourselves might be exceptions, but certainly those countries that depend very much on UCGIA for many things are the ones that really are the ones that the chairman and the president will have the most interaction with.
Yeah. Now I'm going to stop discussing there, because this is not a discussion about the role of the president. This is a discussion about the agenda.
Right, yeah.
You can talk about that on May 13th, like I said.
Right, yeah.
We're on the first bullet point still, so we've got to keep going. Okay, international luncheon. Mr. Malia says that we can plan a luncheon for the international attendees from 11:30 to 1. And then we have two more hours in the afternoon with the international attendees, and we've labeled it educational material from 1 to 3. Some of the international areas still feel like they are under-trained, never had formal ambassador college training or anything like that. And so the question came back, can we do something like we did last year with additional training for the men in the international areas? I put down Mr. Kubik and Mr. Antian as suggested presenters. Maybe they could do 50 minutes each or an hour each on some particular topic of training. Later on in the workshops, we do have how to do UCG ceremonies, weddings, funerals, or whatever, as a workshop. So it wouldn't necessarily just be something like ceremonies, but some form of training, an aspect of counseling maybe, how to initiate baptismal counseling with a new person, how you would go about marriage counseling, something like that, an instructional couple of hours.
Wouldn't it be good to get feedback from the men on what they need the most?
Yeah,
rather than you just picking something out of the air you think that they might need?
That's one thing I was going to say exactly.
Oh, you were. Go ahead.
Because we wanted to find out what their greatest needs are. And things that they tend to bring up about, well, I have these names, how do I contact them? What do I say first? What's the way to, it's dealing with new contacts leading towards baptism and so forth. That tends to be the thing, but it'd be good to have an actual questionnaire or some way to get a response from them as to what they really would like.
Okay. I wonder if Mr. Antian, he's on the task force, could just create a simple email to the international areas asking them what they would like to have as far as educational material. And just to, when we did it last year, I just got, a dozen suggestions back, and then Mr. Antian and Mr. Bradford covered those topics last year that was the most requested.
Too, you might be able to, like Vic and Gary, cover several, you've got an hour each, you might be able to cover several subjects that would be of interest. If they came back with a half a dozen that were on the top of the list, you wouldn't have to just spend a whole hour on just one subject.
Right, right.
And I just a recommendation of being in so many meetings, a Q&A, allow time for a Q&A and discussion, with the men rather than straight lecture. The guys, hey, please give us time to ask questions and make comments instead of just coming in for nothing but lectures.
Uh-huh. Okay, good.
Just to respond to that, last year when I did the counseling one, they all really liked it. It was only strictly lecture. It was just explaining, giving material, because they basically were totally, seemingly lacking in counseling skills. So it depends on what they put forth. But I'll email them.
Thanks, Gary. We will have the registration packets, check-in packages available beginning 4:00 on Friday afternoon. And then that evening, from 7:30 to 11, we've planned for a welcome reception out in the terrace area with the cash bar, soft drinks, water, and some light refreshments. Mr. Malir, I think it's always nice to have that opening night, that we pay for out of the GCE budget, some light refreshments, as well as the cash bar. Moving on to Sabbath, there's the usual group breakfast at 9:30, and we will offer home office tours again at 11:00 for those who would like to see the home office that haven't yet or would like to see it again. And then Sabbath services would be from 2 to 4. That's the normal time slot we have each year, from 2 to 4. Now, a webcast will be provided. We're trying to do away with the telephone hookup if we can. I provide just a webcast, both an audio and a video version of the webcast. It only costs us about 24 cents to connect an entire congregation for 2 hours. The phone charges are a lot higher than that. So it's my recommendation that we go webcast only. And more congregations now are wired and can do that. If they get a slow connection, they can always go to the audio version, but we will provide video. And every Sabbath, lots of congregations are even doing this now. So that's the recommendation, to go webcast only. It's simpler and it's cheaper. So any comments on that? Okay. Mr. Rhodes?
On the agenda this afternoon, there has been a request that the webcast be available to members as well. Do you want to just quickly run that through now or this afternoon?
Yes, so that's for the remainder of the schedule on Sunday and Monday, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's talk about that maybe afterwards when we get through the schedule and see what might be appropriate for everybody to hear.
That's fine.
Okay. The committee recommended the following options for speakers. The committee came up with two suggested song leaders, Frank McCready or Gerald Osp. Split sermons were suggested to be by Bob Fabe and Bill Eddington, followed by the crowd and a second split sermon by Dennis Luca. Most on the committee felt that the president should give the sermon or the chairman. And so Mr. Luca was slotted in for the second split. ABC Chorale is our usual special music. The first split sermon and the song leaders are the main questions here. So feedback on who these should be. Mr. Weber?
Yeah, I'd like to comment just about song leading and bring up the aspect of prayers during the conference. Saw Frank McCready lead songs, obviously excellent song leader. I've seen Jerry lead for years. I would like to see us, just as a suggestion, this is a general conference of elders. I'd like to see us use more of our non-salaried elders. We have some excellent song leaders. I just think it'd be nice, especially with, you know, how this past year they've stood up. And I just think it'd be nice to have variety in our song leaders. And, you know, obviously we have leadership in the church with the sermons and the presentations in and out of the building. But I think it will bring a more, it'll bring inclusiveness if we have our non-salaried elders involved in song leading, and also that we make sure that it's not just salaried elders, but we make a conscientious effort with probably yourself, I would imagine, or whoever's working with the song leaders today, having our non-salaried elders giving prayers and maybe, you know, go 50-50 with our administration or employees here and our pastors, but also let's make this a full general conference of elders where they see themselves up there and that they're a part. I say this too, I guess probably having been in Pasadena for so many years for at the feast, since I was behind the curtain with you, Peter, where we'd always just have one song leader. There's a stability, but there's also a predictability. And I think by having more personalities, we show that we are more than just one personality or two personalities. And I think that would go a long way. So that's my comment.
Okay. Now, would you have any suggested names? Because we can plug them in now. Because that would be helpful.
Not just off the top of my head, but I know we just have many fine songs.
Dan Salcedo,
who is is extremely well respected throughout the church, and he sings. He's getting a little bit older, but he still sings. He has a
beautiful voice. Excellent song.
And Dan has been just an outstanding supporter of the United Church of God since Garden Grove in 95.
Strong.
I just think it sends a really good signal to be.
And at the January conference, we did mix it up a bit. The prayers and things more than normal.
This is nothing about Frank or. I went up to Frank after. I said, "Man, Frank, I didn't. You know, I said you're really a good song leader. So this is not about Frank. I'd never seen him lead songs. He's good, but I'm just saying. I think we need to mix it up where we can this year.
Okay. So, Mr. Antion?
Yeah, I would say that's a good idea, just so you make sure that the fellow who's doing it, I think the reason you go with some of these others, like Frank McCready or Jerry Boss, is they are known quantities as far as their abilities to lead the songs and to do it before a larger audience, whereas some of the other men, the elders in the areas, may have only done it in small areas. But someone like Dan Salcedo or Paul Smith is leading too. But Dan Salcedo is and I would be careful because he is also a candidate for, or he could be one of the final.
The other two put their names in too, though.
Yeah, we would want to put
their names are there too.
Yeah. Randy?
Well, I was just wondering, I love Dan. He's great. But what if we had a younger elder, one of our younger guys leading songs? That gives the service a little bit more of a youthful appearance from the ministerial perspective. ABC adds something, but Just a thought there. I know we have lots of younger guys that are capable song leaders.
I don't know if I can make a comment, Peter. I don't know if we need to decide that, right? And no. why don't we allow the GCE committee to... My comment is, okay. I think at this stage of the United Church of God, we need to fully applaud and integrate our elders. And, you know, when you see one of your own up there, we all are all our own. We're all brothers. But I think, especially this year with what's happened and how they stood up, we need to have them up there. And also, Peter, my comment would be that who's ever coordinating the prayers, that we just have a nice balance. You know, we home office employees, pastors, administrators, but also have our non-salaried elders, maybe 50-50.
Okay. Thanks, Robin. That's good. And we did make a conscious effort in January to do that.
Yeah.
And
I'm
saying we mixed it up a little more than normal at our January conference, so we'll try and do that again. Okay. Any comments on either of the split sermon assignments? Mr. Holliday?
Yeah. I know we have traditionally divided this among council members and president and chairman. I'd like to see us occasionally, we have Bob Fay down here. I think Bob would do an excellent job, is well respected. That, you know, we have either the chairman or the president do one split, but open it up to the GCE, you know, along the same vein that Robin is talking about here. And someone like Bob Fay, I think, would do very well.
Yeah. The committee did feel the president should be, at least the president or chairman should give the second one, with the whole church being online. And you know, they thought that was important to convey the theme of the conference to everybody into the church. So, is everybody happy with the first selection there for the first split sermon for Bob? Mr. Barron?
I understand that Bob's not that well, you know, physically.
We would have to ask him if he's up for it.
Yeah, make sure he is well and strong. It's important if all the churches are seeing us as well, you know, that we have a brisk-looking individual up there speaking as well. That's an important factor, I think.
Mr. Rhodes?
Well, I'm in a band. Yeah. He's pretty brisk.
Just a thought. No offense to anybody, but considering the how old everybody is, I think it's good to have a reserve speaker anyway. I mean, somebody could be sick, is what I'm thinking. I mean, Bob Fay, as Bob Brent just mentioned, has got some health problems. But, I mean, any of us could get sick. So do we always have a reserve?
We haven't really in the past, no.
Might be a good idea to think about that every year, just to have one, just in case.
It's like being the alternate speaker at the feast. You kind of have to be prepared, but you're not, you know?
Well, probably know that really you're the chairman.
It's a tough assignment.
What was that?
You're the chairman. You have the famous alternate sermon that you have prepared. You might have to get.
Mr. Dean.
Another possibility, too. You know, since we've hired several people that have hit from different things and thinking we're just pulling anybody into be pastoring, but I think someone like Greg Thomas is a great speaker. You could say, here's one of the people we just hired, so you can see the type of people we have available. Someone like that who would do a good job might help us public relations-wise a lot.
Greg is scheduled to do a workshop, too. We laid it in there.
But for the church to see one of the young guys we just hired.
Okay. Any further thoughts on this first split sermon? We've got suggestion of a local elder, or a new hire, Bob Fay. Anybody want to narrow it down at all or add any other names into the mix? Okay. Vic?
Well, you know, I just have a very special feeling for Bob Fay right now. He's he's been failing somewhat in health. He really wants to do things. I mean, his desire has been so much to help out in this crisis, but he hasn't been able to because of Evelyn, because of his own health, but he's got a strong desire, and I would just love to see him be featured, because we haven't in 14 years. He's been kind of, he's had a part in the history of the church, and he really hasn't been shown, you know, in that focus. He's given some outstanding sermons that have been so helpful to people. One is about building on a strong foundation, and one about what is the truth, or, you know, lauding the truth. And, you know, he is a very good speaker. He's an orator, I feel, in many ways, very passionate. And I would just like to be able to give a special it's a plug for Bob.
Okay, all right. We'll approach him and see if he can take the assignment, and we'll go from there. If not, we'll have to choose an alternate. Okay.
All right. We put in a good word for Bill Eddington. He spoke here this last Sabbath, and he and Gary split. Gary spoke on the Passover, and Bill spoke on accentuating the positive and eliminating the negative, and it was very positive and encouraging. I heard many comments about it, so he could be your alternate.
Yeah.
You got him in there anyway.
He could be the alternate.
He did an excellent job.
All right.
I thought the conversation was going really well for a while.
And I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to get in trouble when I got home.
That's right.
Mrs. Eddington has a comment.
I don't think my husband needs that extra stress.
Well, he doesn't want. If he doesn't want it, he can decline.
He
can decline.
Okay, let's see. Over the page, got several things going on Sabbath evening, or Saturday night, actually. First of all, from 7:30 to 9, there's Mrs. Luca wants to have a ladies' evening discussion. So this is after dinner. They'll have a beverage station there with coffee and tea and a cash bar. Some of the ladies would like to get a glass of wine or something. And it's
redundant.
Yeah, I just noticed that, so I just see it's on there twice. So what's it?
I would opt for 8 rather than 7:30, because I think
to 9:30.
If you go to dinner somewhere, but it's very hard to get out and get there and get back if people are going to be rushing like crazy to.
Yeah, the correct time is 8 to 9:30. So it's after dinner, the ladies' evening discussion. They'll be in one of the private sections of the ballroom with the beverage station, coffee, tea, and the wine bar. And that'll be hosted by Mrs. Luca, president's wife. And the discussion they had at the January conference with the women went very, very well. Mm-hmm. Women really opened up and had a lot to talk about. So they want to continue that from 8 to 9:30. Now, at the same time, we're going to have a dessert reception, similar to what we had last year. And so the ladies can go through the dessert line in the main ballroom and take that back into the discussion room with them. We'll be having a ministerial mixer and dessert reception next door to the ladies. The complimentary desserts, remember those little bite-sized desserts we had last year? It was a nice table all decorated up, coffee and tea, and a cash bar in the room as well. So the conference budget will pay for those desserts, the complimentary desserts, when everybody gets back from dinner. So that will go, the dessert reception and cash bar will go all the way through till 11 o'clock. But what we'd like to do at about 9:30, when the women's discussion ends, is have them come join everybody in the main room. There'll still be more dessert, there'll still be coffee, and have some entertainment from the ABC class and from any alumni students as well. And just make it an enjoyable, fun evening. Remember last year that night we had the International Expo? Well, we're not going to do that 2 years in a row. So we moved the dessert reception from Sunday night back to Saturday night, with the entertainment, desserts, and it's a fellowship time. It's a time to catch up. It's a time to share stories. It's a time to build some stronger relationships. So the women start out at 8 o'clock in one room, the men in the other, and then we all get together at 9:30 for the entertainment. That's the idea. So any thoughts or comments on the Saturday night event? Okay. So Charles, we'll plan for those desserts then again. It'll be good. Then it brings us into the Sunday portion, and the schedule has been changed around a little bit. Not right off the bat, but as we go through the day, you'll see that we've mixed and matched a little more to make it not so predictable, like some were saying a minute ago, and to make it a little different. We'll start at 9 o'clock after the group optional breakfast, and the registration packages being available. Of course, those registration packages at 8:30 have the ballot sheets in them that Mr. Seelig will have. This is not just name tags and schedules. This is the actual voting registration package. 9 o'clock, call to order. Approval of the 2010 minutes. Of course, the chairman leads much of this discussion. Opening comments and then the introduction of new elders by the chairman. And once again, we'll have some slides on the screen of their pictures as he reads their names off. Mr. Rhodes will just give a brief bio, where they're from, where they're serving, how many kids they have, whatever. And then we'll have the opening comments and introduction. Mr. Seelig?
Mr. Eddington?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to bring to attention something so that you all are aware of it. We had some ordination approvals yesterday. That's great. But I cannot include them. I've had this happen before where somebody is ordained after the call and notice goes out, and then it comes to me and they say, "Can I want my packet." Well, I can't send them a packet after a call and notice goes out. For one, I've got to send the electronic list to the auditors. I can't be changing that. Once that's gone, they have that is their audit list from which they can accept or reject a ballot. And so I want to let you know that if I'm not informed before call and notice, they can't get a ballot. They can't get call and notice. So there'll be some that are there that will just come in, but they go up to the registration table, but I cannot give them a packet.
And some may not be ordained until unleavened bread.
That's true.
And that's way past call and notice.
Way past call and notice.
They can still attend the conference.
Oh, yes.
They just can't ballot.
They can't ballot. But just so you know, I've had that happen to me before, and it was like, why? Well, there are certain rules we still have to follow.
Yeah, so if that question comes up, there's an explanation on why that is. Mr. Rhodes?
Well, also, when I have to get up and introduce the new elders, if some have been ordained during the days of unleavened bread,
we can announce them.
Yeah, but our pastors... quick in letting you know that they've been ordained?
Because, not always.
Okay, because well, I don't need to offend anybody by missing somebody out who was ordained at unleavened bread.
What we try to do is add them in next year then. It's so close to the end to the conference. We were trying to add them next year if we miss someone. And we have missed one or two here or there.
Okay.
But right now I've got about a dozen on the slideshow that I've put together so far. So
Vic, you need to mention Nkomo because he's although he's been our credential for 2 years, we've never recognized him.
That's true.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'll need that name and information,
okay,
too. Mr. Luca?
Are the men informed, what you were saying, Gerald, that they will not, once they're ordained, they may not know that they can't ballot at the GCE. Are they informed of this somehow, some way?
I have not. They're only if they've ever contacted me do I let them know, but... I can put it in the letter to them.
Yeah, seems
to
like
let them know that because of the way it falls, they aren't eligible to take part.
I think that
part
would be
it.
Good so they understand that. Otherwise, they come there thinking they're going to be able to ballot, and they don't know they can't. So, maybe I think it'd be good to include.
And that. And if the check-in ladies know as well,
they have to have the name on the list
to
be able to get a ballot.
Yeah, so then they can explain why they're not on the list, or they can go see Gerald if that's the question. Yeah. So that takes about 15 minutes for the call to order, the approval of the minutes, and the introduction of the new elders and their wives. We've allowed 15 minutes for the balloting. Sometimes it's been longer than that on the schedule, and it's not been necessary. 15 minutes is enough to ballot for the Council of Elders, the Strategic Plan, Operation Plan, Budget, and the proposed amendments. That brings us to a 45-minute session for our keynote speaker, 9:30 to 10:15. The theme this year was suggested by Mario Segli, serving as Christ serves. And so the committee felt, let's just go with Mr. Segli then, for the keynote speech, if that's what the council would like to do. Let me see what page that is as a summary. At the bottom of page 6. There's a summary of what Mr. Segli submitted based on Matthew chapter 20, verses 27 through 28. Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life, a ransom for many. And then various passages from Matthew 20 and Matthew 23, and some bullet points on what Mr. Segli had suggested about the greatest among you being your servant.
So let's have a brief discussion on the keynote address, which will come right after the balloting and set the stage for the rest of the conference, actually. I guess we could ask if there's any objections, or if anybody else would like to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, if anybody is comfortable with that, that would be fine, too.
I like what Mario's the one that came up with the title, Serving as Christ Serves. He's an excellent example of that, and always does a wonderful job. I would definitely recommend Mario.
Okay, everybody's comfortable with that for now? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Thank you, Danny. We will then take a half-hour break. Of course, the challenge at the conference is to get everybody back in their seats. Mm-hmm. But we will... try to make announcements from the stage, get everybody seated in time to stay on schedule. Because this schedule is actually pretty tight, and we actually go until 5:30, not 5 o'clock, trying to get everything in on this Sunday. 10:45 a.m., address from the chairman, 20 minutes. 20 minutes for address from the president, 20 minutes from address from the treasurer. And then those are normally after lunch. We decided to put them before lunch this time because we've got a different schedule for the afternoon than normal. Normally following them are the operation manager reports, but we've left those to later in the afternoon, and you'll see why, I think. What is happening here is what's required by our bylaws for the annual meeting, the balloting, and then the update from the officers, okay? Chairman, President, and Treasurer. And then from 11:45 to 12 o'clock, we're slotted acknowledging our deceased elders and wives. In the past, it's been called a tribute to our deceased elders and wives. Greg Thomas was the one that originally suggested this back in 1998 or 99. And it's kind of grown over the years to become an hour and 15 minutes. And the committee felt it should go back to being more like the introduction of our new elders and wives. Maybe a little bit more meat on it, but acknowledging our deceased elders and wives for their service, those who have died in the past year. It would be much briefer. We wouldn't be reading all of the comments and letters that came in. Their picture beyond the screen, where they served, a bit about their family, and then move on to the next one. Try and do it in 15 minutes. So it's an acknowledgement and thanks to them. Would anybody like to see it continue to be an hour long or 45 minutes long, or is 15 minutes still appropriate? Mr. Antin did it last year.
I've only done it 1 year, and I've seen Ken Giese do it several years. I am concerned that if you just, with what we've done in the past, and we all have history, we all remember people have been given tribute, to just pass them through like that and say, here they are, they did this, move on to the next one. I'm just concerned at the feedback. I'm happy to do the shorter version. That's no problem to me. But I think that I just am concerned about, because we have history of people being given a little more time for each one, a little more appreciation to those who have served. It would seem like to just do, if you have five, you're giving them 3 minutes each. If you have seven, I think right now we have five or six. If you have seven, it's like 2 minutes each. It's barely just a flyby. And I kind of wonder if that's really honoring those who have served over those years and those who are deceased, especially when you bring people in, if we're going to do that again. The spouses are usually brought in. They're brought in, they see 2 minutes fly by. I just have concerns about the feedback we're going to get from that.
Mr. Weber?
Yeah, I'd like to follow up with what Gary said. I think we need to split the difference somewhere. I think an hour, unless there's in 1 year a lot of people die, I think when it goes on and on and on, people can also lose focus. And then I think that is not honoring people. Yeah. I think if I think we need to hit the happy medium, which I know you'll do, because a lot of that material is in front of us in the to edit it to where I'd say something more like a half an hour to 40 minutes max, depending upon the number of people. But I know what you're saying, and to be frank, I always learn
and I am moved by the examples. It's a teaching tool, but I think it has, over the last years, gotten longer and longer. And I think we just need to get the balance. Balance okay. is everything.
Mr. Kubik?
Yeah, you know, I found that when it was really long, there was that type of factor. But you have the handout, you know, you have the memorial booklet. You can have more of the comments there, but just limited to two comments. Mm-hmm. And that way you could just, the speaker choose two good comments, but if there's, sometimes it's these people, you know, they've had 7, 8, 9, 10 comments, they were all read. And it just really gets to be too much. Yes. But just have a couple for each one, that way each one gets the proper thing, and the people can read the rest of the comments in the book.
Yeah. Okay. I think it was Mr. Rose, you had your hand up?
I agree with the others that we need to get the balance, because in the last 2 or 3 years, it really has seemed to go too long. But at the same time, if we've only got 15 minutes for 6 people or 7 people, that's only 2 minutes per person.
Yeah.
My suggestion was that the break, you could either take 15 minutes off the break at 10:15, finish at 10:30, and then that would give us half an hour for acknowledging our deceased elders and wives. Or you could take 15 minutes off the lunch break, because every year it's always gone over time anyway into the lunch break. And it probably would do this year, if depending on if we lose any more between now and then. So that would give him a half an hour.
So what if we took 5 minutes off the break?
Which break?
To 10:40.
Okay.
And 5 minutes off lunch, and go with 25 minutes instead of 15.
Yeah, that would work.
I think we scheduled 30. Well, 25 or 30 last year, didn't we? It went a bit over.
Let's just hope no.
Yeah.
Let's hope nobody 40? Else dies between now and
Yeah. Okay.
Peter. Also. Gary said, made a comment that I liked. Instead of acknowledging, honoring. I don't think we'd be better honoring our deceased elders.
Okay.
Just not acknowledge.
That's good.
Okay, honoring, and we'd go 11:45. Actually, 11:40 to 12:05. Okay. Lunch is always a tight one, because often there are other meetings going on too during lunch, and we get those guys through the line first to go for their meetings. I'm sure something will be scheduled, Charles, for lunch meetings during the conference. All right, good input. Thank you. We'll add another 10 minutes to the honoring portion. 1:30 after lunch. This is our international report. Now, remember that would be before lunch, beforehand. A lot on the committee felt that things are really different in some international areas right now. The countries that were up for a report this year, it's on the last page, on page 11. The next in line would have been French, East Africa, Germany, Caribbean, Philippines, and West Africa. They would have been next in line. Bill and Jenny Bradford, who are from an international area, felt that it might be better to have more of a combined international report about what's going on in international areas overall and where there are needs. Bring everybody up to date on where people are serving, where Melbourne's visiting, where Steve Clark's going, you know, whatever. A combined international summary and report for a half hour. It's titled here, Caring for Our Brethren and Preaching the Gospel in Europe, Africa, Asia, and Beyond. The committee felt that Melvin Rhodes would be a logical choice because of his involvement in the international areas to give an international summary and report. And it's 45 minutes long is what we have slated. Normally, international reports go for an hour and 10 minutes. This would be 45 minutes. And it's more of a combined summary of what all that has happened and has gone on, and how we're serving people in some of these remote areas where we may not have a pastor on the ground anymore or whatever. And this would be right after lunch. And so this is a different approach for the international summary portion. And maybe the following year we can get back to more individual reports. that was felt that some of the reports may not be that encouraging to everybody either if we just had each country get up and give their report, and it may not provide a good overall focus for the conference. So, Mr. Rhodes, you have any thoughts along about that? And you could have other presenters if you wanted, but this is the thought right now.
Well, listening to what you said, I think it makes sense. I would be concerned if you did have the individual reports that some would be negative, like you said. So, looking at it overall, I think everything is positive. Certainly, you can see God's hand in what is happening, and we're moving forward. But I think also this presents the opportunity to get more people involved, because we really do need more volunteers to go and help in some of these areas internationally, either just for the Feast of Tabernacles or 1 month here or, you know, whatever they can do. So this is a perfect opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and you can explain the needs.
Right.
Yes. Mr. Rankin?
Peter, I would like to see at least a couple of guys chosen to do it. I'll give you my take on it. I love Melvin very much, but Melvin has a lot. He's on a lot of these areas here. He's got the call to order. He's got the opening comments. He's got balloting. He's got address. He'll be up there a lot. And I thought that the idea of doing international reports was to feature some of these other people around the world. And I'm just concerned. It doesn't have to be everybody. It doesn't have to be that in line. It could be Australia and Canada. It can be a couple of areas that are positive. I think that if we just cut that out and just summarize it, I'm just concerned about that. That's my thought.
And you would have the option to have other presenters in the middle of a combined report,
right,
if you wanted. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that. I mean, I didn't see this until this morning, so I didn't know about it. But, for example, Oladare Akinbo, we're trying to get him in this year from Nigeria for the first time he's ever been here. We cannot miss an opportunity to hear from him. And I think it would be very positive what he has to say, because we've lost nobody in Nigeria. And, I'd like to incorporate him in there. Mm-hmm. And then maybe one or two others, too. I haven't really had any time to think about it. So I would do that anyway, Gary. I'd get some of the other guys up as well.
And it wasn't limited to just you. For you to coordinate and have up there who you thought would be best, but you would be the overall presenter and kind of wrapping it all together.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Holliday?
Yeah, I think it would be good to hear, like you mentioned, from Nigeria, Canada, Australia, some of the areas that have virtually gone unscathed.
Yeah.
It'd be very encouraging to the membership as well as the ministry to realize, how firm many of these areas have stayed. So it'd be good to include them.
Okay. Mr. Steiber?
Personally, I think we need a comprehensive world report after going through the knothole backwards that we've gone through this spring. The good with the bad. And so, frankly, I'd like, having Melvin up there giving most of it, and then having Dari and one or two others that you feature here and there, PowerPoints, maps, things like that, so we can visualize what you're saying as well as hearing it, I think would be extremely valuable to have a comprehensive overview all presented at that time, so that we know where we stand on the ground.
Mr. Luker?
Yeah, I kind of feel that way looking at next in line French. Well, an amazing thing has happened in French. I mean, Tim and Maurice Fetworth have done an incredible job, and those who are faithful in France, of reorganizing the whole French work and carrying on with it. I think it's an inspiring story. I've been very encouraged by what they have all done and picking up, haven't you, Melvin? I mean, they've got things going, and Mr. Audouin now is the president in France, and they've taken the bull by the horns, and it's an inspiring story in the French work. So I think, they wouldn't have to have much time at all, but Tim could get up there and, boy, he could give a summary that I think would be very encouraging and inspiring to everybody. French work is carrying on.
While there are some areas, that have been unscathed that are, happy stories, there are some areas, too, of, like Danny was saying, with French, but of great heroism that has taken place, like in South Africa, what's happening in Zambia and how God has not allowed his people to be just left adrift. Help is on the way. Malawi, Zambia, other places where we've had amazingly inspiring stories of brethren, deacons, elders, local, well, we don't even have the elders, but we've had amazing people who want to protect their church and to be there. So we have that aspect as well.
Is the council okay with Mr. Rhodes coordinating that portion and bringing up who he feels would be best to help illustrate what's happening in the international areas? Mr. Barron, you had your hand up.
Yeah, Peter, I think it's important for us at this particular GCE especially to be transparent as far as what's occurring worldwide. And with these particular individuals who really have stepped up, it is a very positive experience and positive thing for whoever will be listening in. So we shouldn't be necessarily just looking for those who were good, solid success stories.
Yeah, and that wasn't the intent of changing it. It was to, because it's a more of a transition year, that's what the committee felt. You notice the next 15 minutes is a short Q&A about serving the brethren and preaching the gospel internationally. And we wanted to have an open mic for 15 minutes or so for people to come up and ask questions of Melvin or whomever in the true spirit of the General Conference of Elders. Have them be able to come up to the mic and ask them questions specifically about the international areas and what the needs are and how things are going. Maybe a follow-up question about something somebody didn't understand or wanted more information on. So we've got a short Q&A there as well. So the whole thing goes for an hour. So however Mr. Rhodes wants to use that hour, but the committee felt it would be good to have at least about 15 minutes of opportunity for feedback and questions. 2:30 to 2:50, we have 20 minutes, address for ministerial and member services. 2:50 to 3:10, address for media communication services. And then we have a half-hour break mid-afternoon. And then we have what we're calling two keynote adjunct presentations. In addition to our keynote speech, we've got two additional presentations that are for everybody to hear. The first one, going for 45 minutes, is What is the Church? The Foundational Principles by Bill Bradford. You'll see his outline back on page 7. This was actually considered for the theme for the whole conference at one point, you may recall, before Mario's idea was selected. And the council asked back in December that some of these other theme ideas that were brought forward be included as part of the conference too, either as a workshop or as another presentation. And so the committee has slated in What is the Church? The Foundational Principles by Bill Bradford. And on page 7 you see his outline about integrity, the church community, the purpose and need of the church, philosophy of governance system, what is the work of the church, and our founding principles. And then the second keynote adjunct would be Our Principal Essence, or Our Critical Essence, by Brian Shaw and Darris McNeely or whomever. But that is the rollout to the General Conference of what we heard yesterday from the Branding Committee on Our Critical Essence. And that is for an hour. We've given Brian an hour on that. The way the conference ran in January, where there are lots of different presenters in plenary sessions, people seem to like that. Then the breakouts afterwards, you'll see Monday's broken up a little differently than normal as well, with the plenary and workshops. So any comments on these two additional presentations?
Keynote number 2 was called Our Critical Essence. Maybe just why you call it Principal Essence.
Yes, we went, Brian Shaw and Darris and I went around on the names, and so we ended up settling on Our Critical Essence. So yeah, I'll make that edit here. Thanks, Benny.
Okay, just wondering.
Yes, Mr. Antion?
Peter, I appreciate Bill Bradford. He's a good speaker and everything, but I also recall, did he not give a keynote address not too long ago?
It was about 10 years ago.
I guess I'm trying to think, trying to spread the wealth around, and I'm not, if this is the way it's decided, that's fine, I'm happy with it, but I do recall that. I think Bob Barron gave one time and so on. So I'm just trying to think if there's a way of spreading the wealth without losing quality, that's fine too. But if, since you already have this done, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying, I have to bring it to our attention that if we want to spread things around a little more.
Okay, Mr. Rhodes?
Yeah, just one thing here. It may be a bit sensitive, but I'm concerned that everything will go according to time. Because if it doesn't, I could see us going way over time. And the speakers, and especially the keynote speakers, are extremely important in this respect. So will there be some sort of a reminder to everybody in the morning to stick to time?
There will.
Do we have a buzzer?
We have a lighting timing system.
Okay.
And each year at the GCE, we appoint somebody to keep everybody on track and to make motions from the front row and everything. And we have a lighting timing system as well, light timers. So we will have to do that. I was very pleased at our January conference that we pretty much ended every single presentation on time. The fellows did a good job staying on time. So they'll have to be reminded about this again, yes, without a doubt. Because as you can see, this is a busy day. There's a lot going on. It's a little different than normal. We've broken it up and changed it around a bit so that it's not so predictable. Any other thoughts on this, Mr. Dean?
Yeah, I mean, I like passing it around like all this is said, but in this year in particular, with all the things and all the people left, you know, to me, it's, in some ways, it's good to have some people that are well known and show they stayed as well this particular year. I mean, every other year we fought to try to get other people who had a hard time. This year we put all the people, it'll look like there's nobody left. And I there's a lot of people left, very good people, good speakers left. And to me, to highlight some of those that show that they were solid, stayed, and understood is a good thing.
Okay. Then we have the announcing of the ballot results. Often that's done around 3 o'clock when the CPA firm is done with the counting. We decided to move it to the end of the day. The ballot results will not be announced until 5:25. Everybody's going to have to sit there and wait for it. Some people, that, you know, once the ballot results are announced, they get in their cars and they drive home. Mm-hmm. I mean, those who are leaving on Sunday afternoon, those won't be announced until the end of the day. And everybody will stay right through all of these sessions because they're all very important. So that's a slight change on the schedule too. Dinner break, 5:30 to 8. And then at 8 o'clock, we're scheduled a Q&A with Dennis Luker and the Council of Elders.
Wouldn't it be better to say the president? Just my name, the Council of Elders, you don't mention
what names. About the operation manager?
Or operations manager.
Yeah, whoever Denny would like as the president to have with him, that would, yeah.
Yeah, because some of the questions that would come up, Peter, like at the other Q&A, remember how often you were getting up and answering the questions?
So you just want to say administration and Council of Elders?
Yeah, why don't you say administration? Yeah, Roy. I think Roy's right there, because some of the questions, I would say, Vic, do you have an answer to that? How about you, Peter? And Aaron, can you answer that one? So I think administration.
Okay, administration and Council of Elders.
Yeah.
So once again, it's an open microphone. Provide your honest feedback.
Yeah.
There'll be a cash bar and coffee and tea as well available. And Charles, if we can do that in the back of the room, that might be nice, rather than out on the terrace. Once again, in the ballroom where everybody is. And so then the Q&A can just go on as needed. And when it's over, everybody's right there. They can get a drink if they want, a soda or a glass of wine. And we're allowed an hour and a half. Now, often the Q&A has been on Sunday afternoon after the ballot results, and there's a big change over getting the table up there and all that. I thought it might be easier to do it after the dinner break and have everybody come back to that. Monday morning, root breakfast is available. And now we've got two plenary sessions. These are for everybody to attend on Monday morning. What we've found over the years is that Monday morning, the first workshop is not so well attended. People are kind of all over the lobby and just talking and not taking the conference seriously. and disappearing to different workshops in different rooms. So we felt, let's start Monday morning off with everybody together, with the opening with an opening prayer, everybody in the same room, and they're going to hear two important presentations, 45 minutes for the first one and half an hour for the second one. The first one is something that Victor Kubik has been working on in various presentations that he's been doing on biblical eldership, the foundation of church leadership. And if you look at the summary on page 8, the Apostle Peter exhorts the elders to be all shepherds, to be all that shepherds should be to the flock. We then must also be primarily pastors of a flock, not corporate executives, but servants. So this fits in with the theme, the servant as Christ serves. If we want to understand elders and their work, we must understand the biblical imagery of shepherding. As keepers of sheep, biblical elders are to protect, feed, lead, and help meet the flock's many practical needs. Using these four broad pastoral categories, we will consider the examples, exhortations, and teachings of the Bible regarding serving as Christ serves, elders that are shepherds. So that's the first plenary session for everybody. The second one is the launch of UCG's new website and how you can promote the gospel. And that would be by Aaron Booth and Tom Disher. And that's also explained at the bottom of page 8. This will be an active, exciting presentation highlighting the launch of the new United Church of God website at ucg.org. The site will be explained and shown on stage. This is a vital tool in our effort to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God online. Our new website will be a totally new experience for our users. The site will be organized by topic and subject. It will be customizable for the viewer, depending on his or her preferences. Also, it will have social networking options and features. How can the ministry and church membership get involved in this personal aspect of preaching the gospel or the good news of God's kingdom? See firsthand United's latest technology-driven arm of doing the work. Because the new website is going to involve the ministry, the membership, in promoting the gospel and highlighting the truth in this social networking area especially. So that's for a half hour at the launch of the new UCG website. That's the plenary session. Let's see how much more we've got to go. Not too much. We can probably keep going, Mr. Rosen, take a break in about 5 minutes, I think. Any thoughts, concerns, questions, considerations about the first hour and 15 minutes here? Getting everybody together to begin the day. Break 10:15 to 10:45, and this is where we do break up into the workshops. There's one from 10:45 to 12:15, then there's the lunch break, and then there's a second workshop at 1:45 to 3:15. So the workshops are 90 minutes each. As in the past, it's an hour and a half. It enables a good amount of material to be covered. Now, if you want to see what the workshop suggestions are, we're going to go to page, I think it's 9 now, the Monday workshops. Now, we suggest that Gary Antin help coordinate these since he's the coordinator of education. And do that in conjunction with ministerial services. One workshop will be Serving as Christ Serves, a Perspective for Women, with Leanne Luca. That's an important workshop for our ladies with an in-depth discussion. How do we incorporate the theme of this year's conference as we support our husbands in their ministry and service for the brethren? Secondly, How to Officiate at Church Ceremonies by Gary Antion. Use the workshop time to address the practical application of our various church ceremonies, provide instruction to those interested and to those who desire the additional training on how to give baptismal counseling, how to perform a funeral, how to perform a wedding, and how to anoint the sick. And this was a request from some of our international men once again for some basic training. You know, where do you put the oil when you anoint someone? You pour it down their beard, you put it on their forehead, put it on your finger. I mean, there's all kinds of questions. And so that's a workshop for those who have the need, would like to attend. Biblical Eldership, Hands-on Practical Application by Victor Kubik. That's a follow-up to his plenary session on Protect, Feed, Lead, and Help, Meet the Flock's Needs. And that will be an opportunity for those who want to go talk with Vic about that, some of the practical points in application. Now, here's a new one. Opportunities and challenges for non-career bivocational elders. By Greg Thomas and Rock Corbett. Hear practical advice and give your feedback on how to best manage dual careers in your new responsibilities as a part-time UCG pastor. So some of these guys have two jobs now and have been hired part-time while they still keep their other jobs, as you know. There's quite a few of those. So that would be, Greg said he would do that, but I haven't said anything to Rock. But Greg said he would help be a part of it, and he thought Rock would be a good person to have with him on that. Using the web and social networking to promote the gospel by Aaron Booth and Tom Disher. How can Twitter, Facebook, and other social networking tools be used to advance the gospel message? How can the membership get involved in this personal aspect of preaching the good news of God's kingdom? And how can our own websites be leveraged by the brethren to do this? Because, of course, we have our official church Facebook pages, whether it's Beyond Today, the United Church of God, the Good News Magazine. So that's a more hands-on workshop by those guys as a follow-up to the plenary session. And then Richard Kennebec, Paul Wasselkopf, and Chris Stewart would like to do another personal computer workshop for those who would like to attend. Your personal computer and the UCG ministerial website. So leverage the most from your personal computer and use it as a tool to serve your pastoral needs and the members of your congregation. Use the online ministerial tools in the ministerial section of our website to make the most of your day. Get tips on how to be the most productive while on the internet. And then the last workshop, this was also put forth as a suggested theme for the whole conference on generational dynamics. It was put forward by Craig Clark. So rather than eliminate it altogether, we felt it might be good to have Craig do a workshop too on generational dynamics, addressing the challenges of reaching different generations within the church. And this is something that Craig has a passion for. Some of you may be familiar with the book Grown Up Digital. Anybody heard of the book Grown Up Digital? Yeah, so Aaron has. That's where some of the material comes from and some of the ideas. So we have one. How many we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seminars, workshops. So the most you can attend is two of those. We'll try and record them if we can. But you can choose two of those. The women can go to the ladies' one, then to something else, the second hour. The men can decide which one is most appropriate for them. We've provided quite a bit of variety here. Not everybody's going to need the bivocational elder seminar. Not everybody's going to need the ceremonies workshop. Those are more niche markets. So, but I think we provide some good opportunities here for the men to get involved and to hear something of interest to them. Mr. Weber?
Leanne's presentation, A Perspective for Women, is that going to be done once or twice in the day?
That will be done once.
In the morning?
That will be done once, probably the first workshop after the plenary session.
I think that would be nice to make sure that that's in the morning, because some people will have to start taking off in the afternoon, the ladies.
Okay.
And I think that'd be really good to have in the morning.
All right. Mr. Holliday?
Yeah, that was my question. Are any of these going to be done twice?
They'll all be done twice, except the women's. Okay. So you can, yeah. And so we've got, Charles will have to help us work out the schedule here so that we can have 7 rooms going at one time. Then the next time it'll be 6 rooms. So, Mr. Antion?
Just a matter of procedure. In the past, did we not, I didn't even know how these men were actually chosen, and I would think in the future we would be wise to, if I'm going to be his education coordinator responsible for these, it would be wise to send out a note and say we're having a council meeting on this topic, this is the subject chosen, would you like to present, and please, if you were willing to, send me something on that, because I don't know that anything was anything ever sent out to anybody in general, because right now these look great, but I'm just saying, could there be other people out there who have really good expertise in certain areas that they could bring a topic of interest that would fit into the theme or would be valuable for everybody? I'd like to see us do that in the future. I don't know how Dave Register did it, but I think he was basically heavily, did he not arrange all these? I'm just trying to think.
He did it in conjunction with ministerial services. This year was a bit of a transition.
Right.
You were an education coordinator until more recently. And so what we did here, this is all the input the committee received from different people on what they thought would be helpful for workshops. For example, Mrs. Luca said, can I do one for the women? And there was a request for stuff on ceremonies. There was a request by Greg Thomas about the opportunities and challenges of being a part-time UCG employee. So we compiled the list and worked with it, and we discussed this at length on our teleconference that you missed the other week. That's how it happened
future,
this year.
I think in the future it would be good, once the topic is discussed, or the theme is discussed, to then just send out a general note. This is what they do typically in any type of seminar, any type, for instance, AAMFT, they'll say, we're having this conference coming up. Any presenters want to submit anything? Then you get their outline, you see what they're planning to do, you see what they're going to do, and if it fits, you'd make the decision, do we want these people or not want this presenter? So I think it opens it up to all the eldership, minister full-time and those who are non-employed, to give a presentation. If they really have an interest in that area, they can send it in, and then we can decide which ones to choose from.
So that will be your responsibility as education coordinator.
I just didn't know how it came about.
Yeah, this year was, a transition in many ways. But now that you're on the ground as education coordinator, I would suggest that as soon as you want to begin planning that, next year once the theme is chosen, I guess.
Once the theme is chosen, that's what you have.
Which is normally December. It'll be all yours.
Okay.
Be all yours. Yeah.
Question?
Yes, sir.
A question on Victor's workshop. It appears, Victor, this is not so much a presentation, but rather an interactive discussion.
The smaller one, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
Any questions on... Yes, Mr. Barron.
Here, just a comment. This is a three-day session now that I'm looking at here, and in the three-day session, three times we mentioned cash bar, once we mentioned wine, once we mentioned sparkling cider. I don't think we should have that marked in here as such.
Well, when we send the agenda out, we don't have to, but yes. This is for Charles's planning purposes.
Yes.
With the hotel.
Charles should have it, but I just don't think that we should be broadcasting it in the sense of sending it out to all of the members, because it shows up four times.
So you can say just cash bar. In other words, not mention wine or alcohol.
You don't even have to say cash bar.
Yeah, no, just say that.
Just why even say it?
Cash bar suggests that.
Reception or something like that.
Yeah, just you don't even have to say it. Mm. A sparkling apple cider.
With medicine.
Bring your own bottle.
Just say,
with the recipe.
Yeah, it's just,
Baldwin sisters.
Is it British sparkling cider?
Yeah. All right. I'll try and be more sensitive to that volume.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. Then, any particular comments on those workshops? Like I said, we try to provide a variety. And yes, the education coordinator will have to be more involved in the future now that he's been chosen to really drive this as he sees best with ministerial services.
My question is, is there really too many workshops here? I mean, we've got seven altogether.
We've had upwards of nine some years.
Yeah.
We had five or six last year. Mm. One of them is for the women. Some of them are niche markets, so like I said, so really there's only four or five that are of interest to the vast majority. That's my comment on that.
And they're being given twice so that most could make them.
You could make two out of the four maybe that you're interested in, and then we'll record them, put them on the minister's website later for those who want to listen to it online, those that are more of the lecture style. Have a break, 3:15 to 4 o'clock. One of our committee members suggested we have sparkling apple cider and cookies provided to bring everybody back to the main ballroom. Because once again, there's quite an attrition at the end of the day on Monday. And we want to wrap this conference up with some important material and make sure everybody comes back into the room. The cookies will be served actually on through. They'll just be there available from 4 o'clock on. One thought, which is from Frank Fitch, was to have outstanding recognitions of 2010-2011. Kind of like a mini award ceremony, that was Frank's idea, where you recognize those who have had outstanding service or have faced a trial or have pulled through or whatever. We can talk about that a bit more if we wish. In 415 to 440, here's the final lecture of the day, what we accomplished at GCE 2011. A summation of what was covered, what is now expected, illumination of the path forward, and now what? Mr. Weber?
Yeah, I think it'd be important, you know, to really highlight maybe in Melvin's letter going out for the conference that we recognize some people are going to have to go home, but that if we could, as much as possible, be there at the end. You know how sometimes after a three-day conference, everybody's kind of dragging in. They're deciding if they want to kind of be there. There's kind of a huddle. Some are standing, some are sitting. And I think we're going to have to really create that focus item if there are going to be important comments made at the end and encouragement that we set in the people's minds from the very beginning, that hopefully not all can make it because of finances, time and travel, that they can be there. I would like to also mention that let's talk a little bit about that idea about honoring people. Mm-hmm. I'd like more explanation of that because I have some thoughts about that in your first mention.
Okay. Well, let's try and follow through on something like that before Melvin gives a summary of the day and our path forward and now what for the next year for the ministry. And then a closing hymn and prayer. Thought we'd add a hymn again at the end, like we actually did our first couple of general conferences. Mm-hmm. We haven't done it since. So once again, song leader question mark right there for that final. But I think we'll finish 4:45. Mr. Cooper?
I think that, you know, with our first conferences, we used to have a day of fasting, you know, declared by the, I'm not sure if the council or the president, but I really do feel like this would be a very important conference to really have that planned ahead of time, you know, to announce it.
Okay. Thanks, Vic. Okay. Mr. Webb?
One other thought, this would be a plus or a minus to this. I remember in years past that before we did the balloting, and again, we don't want to make it so solemn that, you know, with all the issues that we've had, but we used to, we'd have an opening prayer on the opening day for a general blessing on the conference. But that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when we came to the balloting, we actually had a prayer before that, just a very simple but direct prayer that God would bless the effort there as well. I think that kind of sets that off, that we used to do that. I just offer that as a, I think we want to be a more than ever a singing church, as you just brought up, Peter. Singing as we go out, and also that be often in prayer.
Now keep in mind the balloting is just 15 minutes after the opening prayer.
Okay, that's true.
It could be included in that.
We need to make sure it's included.
That's fine. Yeah, yeah, sometimes it's been much further, so if it's that close, you know, we don't want to double up, but, you know, you'll handle that and remind the prayer giver.
Okay, Mr. Baer?
Yeah, Peter, I think also a pretty large percentage of the ballots have already been sent in. So in a sense, you know, it would be a bit redundant to
we
have
a prayer,
give a prayer for that
Thanksgiving
section.
That they sent them.
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. Holliday.
Just an observation, the international invitees, there are two countries, and I'm not sure who you would invite.
Yeah, yes, and Mr. Luke and Mr. Stiver have this list, and they're going to decide, they're going to write to these areas that we still had representatives. We have some areas here where there's no elder to invite any longer.
Right.
Did those letters go out yet, inviting them to the conference?
No, we just have to do it. Yeah, we could do it Friday.
Yeah, okay.
Because
From the GCE budget, we pay for one representative from each of these areas. And in one area where there was three, because it was a large region. The whole
who do the letters go to? They go to the whoever's in charge of the international area and national Pacific.
Yes, national council or the leader in that area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Rhodes has already sent out a letter to the ministry inviting them to the conference, reminding them of the dates and the theme. We are now going to start producing our small little color brochure that will also have included with it then, when it's mailed, a letter from the president with the color brochure, and that will go out later in this month, hopefully end of March, first week of April. The color brochure will have a rough idea of the agenda on it, the schedule, and a letter from the president. And then a couple of weeks after that, Mr. Seelig's call and notice packet goes out with all the rest of the information. So there's a couple more mailings yet about the conference. Mrs. Kubik?
Who do you actually send that invitation to in these various countries?
The ministry, the elders.
I think you need to be sure that in some areas that it goes to the right people, I guess.
So, so the brochure, you mean, the letter from the president?
The invitation to come for the conference.
That went to all elders currently in United that were on the rolls when it was...
So all the elders internationally are invited, is what you're saying?
Everybody's invited.
Right, but actually...
But then there are some... We pay for one out of our budget for one international person from each international area to come. So in Australia, we pay for...
Not every country, but area.
Like in Australia, the budget allows for one to be paid from the home office. Mm-hmm. And then basically then they decide who they'll send. And sometimes their local budget allows for another one.
I guess my thought in Africa. I mean, you're talking about each country or each area. And how do you...
Well, for example, we up to this point, there has been no one from... the middle part of Africa on the list. Mm-hmm. East and West Africa, there is not. But South Africa was. Any final comments before we take a break for 5 minutes? Mr. Rhodes?
Just a small point. We're looking at Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, the council meeting. Mm. On the Thursday, can you change that from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.? We usually finish early on a Thursday.
9 to 3?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so follow-up council meetings. All righty. Thank you, everybody, for your attention. I've made notes as we go along to finalize the schedule and get it to Mr. Seelig and move forward. Mr. Chairman?
No, can I have just 30 seconds here?
Sure.
Okay. People, when we went to ordinations yesterday, were commenting about the ordination request form. While we've made some changes to it, adding the... affirmations by elders in your area, but then talking to Bill Eddington today, he said that the form probably needs more revision. And Bob Barron said, there should be questions asked about previous marriages, and so forth, that type of thing. So I have the form as we have it now with the addition made for elders' support in local church areas. But please go through this form in the next couple of days and give it back to me with your thoughts and ideas of how to reform it. I would like to be able to have a new form online after our council meetings so that the next series of ordination requests that will be for the next council of elders meeting, we could have a cutoff date of May 1st. We could have them properly done and on a new form. So this is part of our reform here. So I'll give this out to you here. And please feel free to mark it. Also write your name on top of it so that we know who the suggestion comes from. And turn it back to me, and Chris and I will go through it.
Thanks, Mike. All right, let's take a 10-minute break, and we can resume.